Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Led Zeppelin, in my opinion, Major, has never sounded better than a man, his guitar, and a parrot giving you Led Zeppelin. Admit it. This is the best they've ever sounded.
You know, as I think I texted you, proof positive that Led Zeppelin is the greatest rock band of all time. Music moves all living things, okay?
Yes.
All living things.
Among the pets you would like to have, how high on the list is a parrot?
Oh, it's probably 700th.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
So, Chad, I think I've mentioned this before, but if I haven't, it's true. I have enough voices in my head. I don't need any alternate commentary voices in my life. So a parrot would be about, I think it would be right around a rattlesnake as a pet.
Yeah. Yeah. I would take the parrot over the rattlesnake, though.
I would too, but it would be maybe pretty close.
Be close. Now, are you much of a pet person? Did you have pets growing up? It's harder now with your apartment, but.
Yes, I did have. So it's an exquisite and beautiful story, but also slightly heartbreaking. So we had a beautiful dog purchased when I was very young, about 3.5, 4 years old. His name was Ruffy. He was a Shetland sheepdog, toy collie mix. He looked very much like Lassie. Lassie was a massive TV star at the time. Just a beautiful dog, incredibly intelligent, as all sheepdogs and collies tend to be. I mean, super intelligent. Basically passed through obedience training in like the first day. So obedient that he would come to the back door, scratch the door lightly. We would open the door. He would be sitting there. We wouldn't even tell him to sit. And he wouldn't get up until we said, "Ruffy, come in." I mean, that's how obedient he was.
Wow.
When I was like 7 or 8 or 9 years old, I could walk him in my neighborhood without a leash. A 7 or 8, 9 year old kid walking his dog without a leash, simply by voice control. That's how great a dog.
Your dog should have been on TV instead of Lassie.
He was a beautiful, beautiful dog. And he was
awesome.
My constant companion. And let's just say commercialized food at that time, both for humans and dogs, was a little on the industrial side and chemical side. Yeah. He loved Gaines burgers. We thought because, hey, they look like burgers. Actually, it was mostly just sugar. And he had a stroke. And he died, and my older brother, had to make the decision that afternoon, coming home from school, because my parents were both at work, what to do with the family dog. Never quite forgave my parents for foisting that incredibly momentous decision on my older brother, but he did it beautifully, he did it well. And because Ruffy was so important in our family, so central to our familial happiness, my father decided we're never going to get another dog. So we're not going to go through that again. And so I haven't had a pet since.
Well, now I feel terrible for bringing this story up. I mean, I was so good, and then, wow.
Yeah, and because, you know, when I was a young reporter, you know, working incredibly long hours, trying to make my way through I always lived in apartments. I wasn't going to have a dog there, left alone 12, 14 hours a day. And my first wife was not a dog person at all and didn't want a dog and didn't want to have to inherit any of the problems with the dog, even though the kids wanted it. That was a disagreement that we never resolved. And now I live in a very tiny apartment. But when I get to my retirement home in the desert of Southern California, there will be beagles, and my beautiful wife Laura loves rabbits, so we will raise one or two beagles and bunnies right next to each other.
Yeah, I mean, text coming in. Way to go, Chad. I mean, honestly, I apologize for bringing this up. You know,
oh, no, it's Ruffy. Okay. It's okay. It's a part of the tapestry of my life. But Ruffy was a great dog. I'm telling you, just the greatest. And there was something about being a little young boy with a odd name, Major, and horn rimmed glasses, which I started wearing at age 5, to be able to walk a dog in a neighborhood and have that kind of sense of control and rapport with an animal. It made me feel like I was kind of important and I was kind of a thing. And that was a wonderful privilege, and I will always be grateful for it.
Did you have glasses most of your life? Did you have to change?
So starting at age 5, since we're delving deep into the psychologically troubled waters of young Major Garrett.
You've got voices in your head. You'd rather have a rattlesnake. This tortured dog story. Now your glasses. Are you on the couch right now?
Well, because it's my apartment and because I work from my living room, as I have for the last 10 months, I'm always near the couch, Chad. But metaphorically, probably. So real quick, age 5, kindergarten, I'm having eyesight problems, and it's kind of hereditary. My mother wore glasses. My father wore glasses. So I get glasses. And, of course, this would be 1967. There was one kind of glass you got. There were no stylistic variations for any children at that time. Black horn-rimmed glasses, what they used to call in the military zero population growth glasses, you know, and – so I remember going to kindergarten, my first day with glasses, and the teacher saying, well, hey, Major, why don't you sit in front of the class and we'll all stare at you. You can tell them about what it's like to wear glasses. I'm like, did we not do this? Sure enough, that was my indoctrination into life as Major and with glasses. So, you know, it worked out just fine.
Yeah, I think life's good. One other item, and then we'll get to this.
I've got no complaints, but it was a little turbulent early on.
one more upbeat note here, and then we'll get to politics here. The former president, who is now left, had a button underneath the Resolute desk, and when he pushed the button, no, it didn't signify a nuclear attack. It signified that someone would come in with a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Do you have a button like that at your place?
No, and I never will.
You would push a button, okay? And I hope this isn't going to be another story about a tragedy in your life. But if if you could push a button and one food item would then enter the room, a butler on a silver platter presented it to you, what food would that be?
So the butler and the whole silver platter thing ruins everything, no matter what it tastes like. I'm not that kind of person. I don't want that kind of, attention or attentiveness. And I certainly don't want to be one of those kinds of people who believe I'm in a station in life where I ought to push a button and have someone bring something to me. But let's just say it is conveyed to me without the requirement of a human being involved and at my beck and call. Let's just say it arrives.
Yeah.
What is that thing? That's a good question.
How about this?
I would say anytime afternoon, a New York steak and a gin and tonic.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. I sign me up.
Who turns that down? I ask you, who turns that down?
Not me. Not me. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick pause and let's delve into D.C., what is taking place. Another example why he is just a phenomenal guest. Major Garrett from CBS News continues in moments. This was Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, earlier today.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Major, would you like to react to what the Senate Majority Leader had to say?
Did I hear what I just thought I heard?
Yes, yes, erection. Erection, he said, on the floor of the Senate.
Because I've been conducting a lot of interviews for the upcoming episode of my podcast, The Debrief. So I missed that. So I what I heard there was I heard that for the very first time.
You want to run it again? Yeah. We can run it again.
One more time for folks who missed it.
Make no mistake. There will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Okay. I mean, that's comedy gold right there.
Oh,
can't even make
you
it
can't
up.
Can't write it any better than that. You can't deliver it any more awkwardly and comedically than that. You just simply can't.
No.
Wow.
No,
okay.
Too perfect. Too perfect. Speaking of the debrief.
So, yes, this look, there has to be a trial. You can't have an impeachment process in the House that doesn't go to the Senate, be received by the Senate, and be processed by the Senate. Okay. Now, there will be a constitutional argument made by the president's attorney that it is of questionable constitutional validity to have a trial for a president who's no longer in office. The Senate will have to render a judgment on that. And the real purpose of this entire proceeding is to get to the non-impeachment ramification, because, of course, a conviction means removal from office. Well, that's no longer important. The second thing, which would be voted on separately, is does the Senate, through the impeachment mechanism, bar Trump from running for federal office ever again? An option available. And that's really where all this lands ultimately. Does the Republican Party want, through its Senate collective judgment / wisdom / political interest, want to essentially eradicate the Trump effect from future federal political campaigns? That's what this is all going to get down to eventually.
Delivered to the Senate on Monday. Take me through the dynamics right now between Schumer and McConnell, because we're at 50-50, what they're trying to achieve. There are many Democrats who are mad at Schumer right now, saying if McConnell had 50-50 and had, let's say, Mike Pence, that McConnell would not be as friendly as Schumer has been. Is that fair? Is Schumer that much different than McConnell?
So across the country, it's probably a conversation. Well, are they trying to figure out the schedule on impeachment? Yes, but that's not what they're really trying to figure out. What they're really trying to figure out is what is Senator Schumer's commitment as the incoming majority leader to preserving the filibuster, okay? Because under Senate rules, you can, with a simple majority vote, change the rules of the Senate. And remember, the filibuster, the 60-vote requirement, is a Senate rule. It's not in the Constitution. It's not a federal law. It is a Senate custom meant to forge bipartisanship and protect minority rights, okay? But it's a rule. And it can be changed, and it can be changed by simple majority vote. And there are many Democrats who want Schumer to say, we're getting rid of the filibuster, and the reason we're getting rid of it is because we know Republicans aren't going to be there for 60 votes on immigration reform and other things that we can't pass through the Senate through budget reconciliation, which is a separate issue, but it's a way to get things done with budget and tax implications. The pandemic relief plan that the president has talked about, President Biden, can be passed through reconciliation. That's a simple majority vote. Everything else requires 60. Well, if everything else requires 60 and you know Republicans aren't going to give it to you, then you're basically saying, and the rest of the Biden agenda is now a captive of Mitch McConnell and Republican wins, not the Democratic majority in the Senate. And so what McConnell is demanding of Schumer in word and in deed and in writing is, we will not change the filibuster. And Schumer is trying to figure out a way to get as much as he can get other than the filibuster away from McConnell in terms of speedy cabinet confirmations, handling the Senate impeachment trial, and other matters. But this is a huge deal, because Democrats are like, if we keep the filibuster, we're essentially handcuffing the Biden administration on everything that's not budget. And that's true. Unless you can forge a bipartisan compromise, and I know the president, President Biden, is optimistic about that, believes it's possible, but a lot of his hardened Senate Democratic allies and certainly House Democratic allies don't believe there's any chance of that at all, and he's essentially shackling himself to Mitch McConnell and his partisan whims if he doesn't give on the filibuster, and that's what they're trying to sort out.
Got about 90 seconds left. This is a testament to the brilliant work you and your team are putting together, the debrief with Major Garrett, that this week when hundreds and hundreds of affiliates, CBS affiliates, normally carry 60 Minutes, they are going to carry excerpts of what you have done recently with the debrief. That is a testament to the work. This is a proud moment, I'm sure, for you. Just expand on that a little bit.
Oh, sure it is. And when I heard earlier this week that that window was open, that 60 Minutes was going to be off this weekend and they wanted to fill the time, and they said, could we use your debrief material, especially the documentary we do? We do a documentary every week. We did an especially vivid one with our correspondents and producers in the moment as they were living and reporting through January 6th, the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. They were going to use that. And then what we built for this week on inaugurations present and past, wow, I was like, wait a minute, I get a chance for just 1 week to occupy the 60 Minutes radio slot? That's as good as it gets. So it's, as they say on the floor of the House and Senate, a distinct honor and a high privilege, and I mean it, every word of that.
Richly deserved, sir. Love having you on. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be listening Sunday and look forward to our conversation next week.
See you next week, Chad. Thank you so much.
Major Garrett, check him out with the debrief and his phenomenal work on TV with CBS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.